we have a considerable rivalry between Dudley, Sir Nigel, and Sir John in the latter period.
No, the latter period.
Like when Sir John was Prime Minister.
Sir John coming. No, you are coming to personality, great personalities.
What about the organization? Would it be correct to say that it's the inner group that controls the party?
Yes, yes. Always. It always has been. Mm-hmm.
To what extent does the annual conference determine policy and influence decision making?
You know, the annual conference meets in order to okay what the leaders had already decided. No? For instance, in the important resolutions to be moved at the conference are considered by the working committee. And in the working committee also, the decision is made by the leaders. Yeah? A leader and two or three of his immediate friends decide, let's take up these three motions. There will be hundreds of resolutions coming from branch organizations. See, but you see the leader and two or three of his immediate friends will pick up three resolutions probably of their own, or those that come from branch associations. Those are the resolutions that will be discussed. The others are put into the wastebasket basket. They go into an omnibus resolution, saying that these following resolutions have been received and they will be considered by the working committee.
So it's the working committee that's important, and within that, a small group?
From the leader himself, is, see, exercise the most powerful.
Any professional workers, I mean any full-time workers of the party?
You know, for instance, not professional, not paid. There were some paid minor officers, minor officials, but like clerks and propaganda officers and so forth. But the top people were, now man like Sir Patte, devoted all his time for party, and he was not paid for
it. Does that still obtain that kind of condition, or do you have more people now?
Yes.
Does
UNP
have more people now?
I can't speak to the affairs of the UNP just now. They were after 3 years. But till then, they have a large number of paid officials, and they have a large number of honorary members.
You see, Regil described the UNP in the 50s as more an association of influential individuals who brought their own resources together at election.
Between?
Say in the 50s.
Yes, some. Not all. There are hundreds of candidates. They didn't need all their financial resources. I think by 52 the party had funds. And a large number of poor candidates were sponsored by it.
In fact, isn't it correct to say that after 56 in particular, that the social background and attitudes of the UNP MP has changed considerably.
Yes. In fact, today the MP represents a smaller area, and he comes from the village member group.
But isn't it all correct to say that the UNP represents the big business groups? And in one way, while this is helpful, in other ways,
the liability.
Yes, appeals by, you know, the.
Yes. Actually, what has happened is, you see, now we had the Bandaranaike government. He was elected in 56. By about 58, he became extremely unpopular.
Bandaranaike.
Yes.
Did you feel, I felt this, but did you feel that he was on a decline?
He himself said so. He himself told me, told a number of service brothers that he would get 20 years. See? Then when he was assassinated, his stocks went up. Even then, in 1960, when he was sent to Crete, he was able to make about 50 seats, I'm not sure.
How important were the youth leagues in the UNP organization?
Very important. See, this last election was won by youth leagues.
Was it Iriyogada who organized them, or?
He took a leading part.
You think their work was crucial?
Yes. The youth were dissatisfied with it.
But that's a fairly new thing, isn't it? I mean, the UNP Youth League.
Yes.
In the 50s, they were not all.
No. Maybe the Youth League came to the fore after about 1950 or so. Netapal has been president, Netapal, and he discussed the island of his families.
But I presume that with time now, the central organization is improving and centralization has increased.
Yes.
For instance, taking, say, 47-52, that early period, was it correct to say that the local MPs, say, you take Ketkaiva or Velimade of that area, prefer to have the organization in their hands and to resist centralization because then they could win nomination?
Yes. Yeah, of course, those days the candidate depended more on himself. And the organization also selected people for their personal qualities in the election.
An association has been made with reference to both parties that one way of collecting funds was to sell imperial honours that was at that stage, and then of course with the SLP, the TRPs and things like that.
I'm not aware of it, sir. I'm not in the truth. I'm not aware. Well, number one, I can appeal to funds. Collection of funds and disposal of funds. And always being said, personally I am not aware of. Now I was asking, let me say this, that our Minister of Home Affairs recommended people for honors. And nobody has recommended any contribution that you have made to the that type of very difficult. See?
What is your personal attitude to Marxism on the one hand and socialism in general?
You know, my view is that that in politics it is wrong to bind a man, an individual, to any particular program of Marx. See? A person should be free to decide for himself, see, every issue as it arises, see, and any effort to curb either UNP, Marxist, Socialism, whatever name you may give it, the individual's choice in determining his war should never be settled. I'm totally opposed to it. Now I'm being present to my present views on the subject. I changed my views considerably in the last 5-6 years. Fatal mistake. My whole world, I'm applying this to not only to Ceylon, to all civilized men, but to bind an individual's individual to any party, a program, policy, ideas is irrelevant. It's all strength. See? Every individual must be free to exercise his choice, as it has to be sure. Now take for instance, I had strong views on many subjects, but I had to be loyalty to my party's interests. I had to move against my conscience.
Any instances?
Oh, I can be a large number of instances, but then you also have to do it on account of party directors. I'm very glad that I'm free from party now, and I am in this position. I say it, you know, with all the emphasis that I can command, that the party system, see, here, anywhere in the world, is an invasion of, criminal invasion, personal invasion.
Now,
whether it is, in fact, you know, even this divide man, these people who are out to do good are divided today. And in that division, there is no limit to which they will go. They invent new, horrible, horrendous weapons to destroy mankind on the plea that they would help mankind. See? Johnson is dropping bombs in Vietnam to make the world safe for democracy. Those who are preparing megaton bombs to destroy all mankind, you know? The whole thing is absurd. I don't think even primitive man behaves in the way that modern civilized man behaves.
And taking a Ceylonese context, what role would you give to religion in the whole society, and what do you think the relations between the state and the
I'm expressing a personal view. It's a very personal, not as a public man or as president of the Senate, but religion is entirely a personal matter. See? Just I said that we must not divide humanity by party labels. We must never divide humanity by religious labels. Religions are really meant to unite you. See, religions can't unite human beings. If religions are going to divide human beings, these religions are very religious. See? And you have to come to realize. Personally, I see no difference between religion and religion. At least, no difference in this religion, the world religion at all. See, I know, And fundamentally, they are the same, All of them say, do good, avoid evil, and purify the mind. And the process of purification of mind is the same. Therefore, why should we divide? See, we are divided because we have converted these things into organizations, vested them with powers, political, economic powers, and they have become a menace to America. And it's a very personal message by Buddha himself. See, he teaches. He repeats it all ad nauseam. Don't accept it because I say so. Don't see this reality or truth or whatever it may be, you can realize only through your own personal effort. Neither I nor God or Brahma, nobody can do that for you. Your salvation is entirely in your own. That's a very beautiful doctrine. In fact, he further says, now my doctrine, Buddha doctrine, you are a Buddhist, see? If you are attached to that doctrine and take pride in that doctrine, say, this is my doctrine, this is my life, that is also an obstruction to your attainment of your life. You must keep on examining my doctrine, keep on looking into it. Again and again. And until the last remnants of doubts have been cleared, till then, don't be attached to that idea. Any other religion, don't reject it because it's not clear. Examine it. And because he said, he is a wonderful teacher, you know. And Swami says, so he didn't believe it. See? So he didn't believe it. So he is Swami. The Swami said, so he is Christianity. See, if you have, the teachings have all kinds of these acquires, sikars, commentaries, teachings, that too. They have added, converted Buddhism into an organization, vested with power, vested with properties. Now it is a political, see, political powers, see. And what is being done in the name of Buddhism is, I think, completely contradictory.
So you wouldn't like to have been made into a state religion?
You know, I don't like to see because I have that views. There was a time when I strongly felt that Buddhism should be, when Buddhism must be offered. When Buddhists were subjected to all kinds of discrimination and when they were trodden, downtrodden and so on and so on, and they were suppressed and oppressed and depressed, then I thought we must fight for Buddhism and make it a state religion. But today I have realized that we must keep Indian as a political party together. And even parties, and totally opposed to parties. See, they are doing more damage to Sri Lanka than any good thing. Far back was better to go back to primitive communism, the Vedda. They were happy and content. See, they never planned and plotted in the way that modern man is planning and plotting to kill himself, destroy himself. People are dissatisfied with it, yes? For various reasons, economic, then distinction between poor and rich.
Have nots and haves.
The distance, the gaps between the haves and have-nots. And those, of course, are reflected in religion and language and literature. When I tell the teacher, you tell the English and English teacher, you better off. So he makes language the issue to equalize the economic condition. Similarly, the Buddhists tell that they are economically downtrodden. So they make Buddhism the, see, now if Buddhism and the language of issue. Now I can't think of anybody who has done more for Buddhism than myself. I can't think of any single person in the history of Sivan who has done more for Buddhism than I have done. No? I can itemize complete feat of construction by the Amaya. Then even if you are going to translation of Tripitaka into Sinhali, the thing that never happened in the history of Ceylon. No? Then the Buddhist encyclopedia, you say, see, in fact, Krishna Samhita said that this is biggest event in the history of Buddhism, that are the Buddhist encyclopedia. Like that, you see, and now those things, you know, the Singhalis, Singhalis encyclopedia, it's a marvelous thing, you know. And that, in fact, that is a bigger contribution to Singhalis literature than all that has been published here. See? But I will believe it. People knew that there was no person who has done more than the sheep. I look upon them, you see, that the satisfaction with the doctor.
But did the UNC have some priests who campaign for this?
No, in my case, I had all the priests on my side. I don't know if half a dozen priests, except you see a large number of young fellows, whether they were priests or just ordained for the occasion, I don't know. They were brought into the constituent, but hundreds of fellows, yes, they were fed and, in fact, they were given drinks also.
In this road,
I heard, see. And they were released, they were let loose in the villages and went from house to house.
That shows that the EVP had some sort of organization.
Yes, oh, yes, very good organization. they must have rescue the service, all the number of people, right? And resorted to tactics, see, to deceive the voters and all the things, see. They must have put rogues into large number of persons, see.
In the UNP image, wasn't Sir John a bit of a liability by then? Cartoons and things like that?
Yes, yes. Of course, I wouldn't say he's a very good man, a very good prime minister, but that is a general opinion with which I don't fully agree, that's what they say.
In your area, how important was the Hartal, 1953? Was there any Hartal in Lumbar?
No, no. I suppose things are this Kalambu trade union activities had no influence whatsoever. In fact, you know, I can say this about myself. But none of these Marxists even held any meeting. None of these Marxists ever held a meeting in the media. I don't remember either Dahanayak or Philip Munwalden or any of these people going there.
Have you any idea why Sir John dissolved Parliament earlier, in 1956?
Yes. That is, you know, he had a feeling that Dudley would come back. Dudley was making certain speeches on prohibition. That if he was given time to organize, see, he would not be. So he felt no economic. Although for sure most of the ministers thought that the nature of the solution of Parliament was inadvisable. Still he did, I think, I'm not speaking for saying I think in the trail of the movement that Dudley is organizing, the position of the Liberal Congress.
In fact, isn't it true that some of the EDP and some of the leaders of these new forces thought of Dudley as their leader?
Yes, that is. Mr. Thomas Bandar. Yeah. In fact, they went to him. This Hail Petri Ganganthi.
Sir,
Hail Petri Ganganthi, who is now in jail.
Yes.
By his cook. See, he's a family member of the SMFP.
He went to him.
So, yes. I think I've been searching.
Final three, if I may, and that, or that's two spheres, but one, I'm interested in the 1959 Delimitation Commission. Since it was in the time of the SLSP government, one wonders whether there was any influence exerted in delimitation, the culture.
By the government of the day?
Yes. For instance, in a way they carved out constituencies.
Well, some constituencies are carved, like I don't remember, as a satisfying, but the selection was very satisfying with the way in which. So were the LP members. And the LP members were not satisfying.
In your area, I didn't
know. I was satisfying. In fact, the certain representations that I made, they were just carried out. I was satisfied. I was UNP. I was not in Parliament at that time. But I also made representations, and when I made certain suggestions, they came back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. In fact, they bargained with me, you know. For instance, I wanted, I thought a certain portion should be added. Then they asked me whether I would like deletion of other portions. And I said, I have no objection. They agreed, and that's what happened.
Why did you want certain portions added? On what grounds?
I was going to come back and get those votes. Not any altruistic patriotic grounds. See, conforming to certain territorial considerations. See, I made certain suggestions. Then they said, would you like these villages to be deleted in that case? Well, those are also villages that are supported. Still, I agree.
I was wondering whether economic considerations counted, say, a DR, or administrative considerations, DRO division, or a river, the boundary formed by a river.
Yes.
in those camps?
Yes. I really don't know what the consideration concerns the commissioners. But those are certain things that they take into consideration, boundaries, physical boundaries.
But this is very interesting. Now, you did it because you thought you'd get more votes, but then somebody else will be doing it on a different basis, so it, somebody is bound to be dissatisfied.
That's probably where the elected question people must have been dissatisfied, yeah? Huh? I know, so many of the elected people are very happy about me. And the education man that I could check with me, very satisfied with me. So I'm done.
What about the principle which they continued of counting the total population in delimitating constituencies, which meant that a non-voting population, that is the Indian population, wouldn't be counted, and therefore you get constituencies with a small number of votes?
Well, that's really one of the ways in which they take the difference of the Indian population. Now, absolute devotional answer, only successors, meaning that the Indian vote is very intense to vote. And they are very bad to vote. So, the political view and in that respect. So, number one, two things are taken into consideration. Population passes, yeah, in the first place.
At this point of the interview, the recording had to be stopped because it was impossible to understand the interview. There was something wrong with the original spool. End of interview with A. Ratnayake on the 5th of January 1968.